The topic comes from this character right here. Can somebody tell me how to say that character? Fool? Huh? Fool? Okay, that's what I thought. Well, it comes from that character, and there's a reason for that, because I believe that as you examine even some of the Chinese language, you can see a better understanding of these words and where they come from and what they mean. And somebody who really took an interest in this many years ago and brought it to my attention was actually my own father, my dad, Pastor John Young. And I've asked him to come and just introduce this concept to you what it means a little bit more clearly for the message. So, Pastor John, would you come on up here? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I guess I'm turned on. Is this mic on? It is. Okay. Whoever's manning the PowerPoint, let's begin at number 7, would you? Number 7. All right. What does it mean to be blessed? Many times this term is simply meant to come across like good luck. You know, I wish you the best. I hope everything works out good for you. But I think there's so much more to it. And I think that when we look carefully at the Chinese word for blessing or for good fortune or however we wish to translate it, I think it's a whole lot more significant than just, I hope it all works out good for you. I hope you prosper and get rich. You know, I want us to just imagine for a moment the first father, Adam, awakening in the most beautiful imaginable environment that anybody could ever imagine. Beautiful, lush gardens, the waters flowing, the rivers, the streams, probably a pond or a lake. It was a beautiful environment. The animals everywhere, all around, looking to him, looking to this first man. What's next? What do we do next? This is awesome. The Garden of Eden, God's crown of all creation, and man in the center of it. There's no better way to describe the scene than to look at the Chinese word blessed. Look at it. So often we see it as a whole. We look at the word and we see its parts, and we see it as a whole and think, yes, that's what it means. It means blessed. It means good fortune. But when we break it down into its parts, I would suggest we're going to see some pretty awesome things. It begins with this little part of it on top, the number 1. Okay? Are we there, Charlie? Okay. In the 7, slide 7. No, you're in the message. You're in the message. It's a little more difficult to bring it out. There we go. Okay, next slide. And it begins with this horizontal line across there, which means simply one. And below it, we have this square. It refers to a mouth. It refers to a person, okay? And below it, we have something that's kind of hedged in with the cross bars through it. And it gives us the feeling, the sense of a garden. And so when we combine it and put it together, what the early Chinese fathers were trying to put together, this is what it means to be blessed. When you find one person in the garden And then on the left, we have what simply denotes the divine. It denotes the divine, or we would say God. Some have told me that it doesn't say the word God, and that's true. It's more like the personal pronoun we use, he. When we speak of God, we say he, but we have a capital letter H that shows it's not just another he, but it is the divine. It is God. And so, put it all together, we find that what is blessed is one person in the garden with God. Can you think of a better way to describe what it means to be blessed? I cannot. We will move on to another word very quickly. It's the word that speaks of a large vessel or a vessel. Okay, that back to slide 2, Charlie. There we go. And of course, our Chinese friends are fully aware. You know, when you see that, you think of a large vessel, don't you? But break it down into its parts. And we find on the right, the next slide. That's the number, what? Number 8. Okay, 8. What's significant about 8 and a vessel? Well, down below it again, you have that which looks like a mouth, referring to persons, and you have 8 persons. 8 persons, and then the other side in a vessel. 8 people in a boat. And again, we're trying to convey something that everybody at the time understood. They didn't have to explain the various parts, but it brought to mind a special craft that God had Noah to build. Because the sins of humanity were so great, he determined to destroy the earth. But he saved humanity through 8 people by putting them in the ark. What an amazing story. And the most amazing parts of it is there's so much in the Chinese language. There's so much that go back so long ago. Back in the days when the Chinese people were, they didn't understand many gods. They were monotheists, and they knew who God was. And over time, all of these things changed. Over time, we lose the significance of the elements and we see the whole, but we miss the picture of what it really is about. And I pray that this new year will be the best, the most exciting, and the most blessed new year that you will have ever experienced as you bring God into the picture of your life. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you for introducing this character that is full or blessed. Blessed. And we're, as believers, we understand it's not just about luck. It's not just about good fortune. And I believe that the early Chinese also understood more about the God of the Bible. And it comes out here and there. We all came from one man and one woman. And at what point did we separate off into various regions of the world? That point was the Tower of Babel, when God confused and confounded our languages and we went our separate ways according to people who could understand our particular language. So today is blessed. And let me share with you from the Word what it means to be blessed. I read a story of a little boy who was visiting his grandparents. This little boy was given his first slingshot. Mistake number one. He was having fun playing with this slingshot. Do you know what a slingshot is, everybody? It has a handle and two sticks with a kind of rubber band thing, and you can pull it back and fire away a rock or marble or whatever you want to shoot. So he had a slingshot, and he was out having fun in the woods, and he was a terrible shot, couldn't hit anything. Never could make the mark, so he was a bit frustrated. On his way home, he cut through the backyard of his grandmother's house, and there he saw his grandmother's pet duck. And so just in fun and without thinking too much about it, he picked up his slingshot and took an aim at the duck, and he let that little rock fly, and for the first time, that little rock found its target, killed that duck instantly. He was so upset. He couldn't believe that he had done that. What was he thinking? So he was in a panic. He went and picked up the duck and put it into some bushes somewhere else and thought it was all done. And then he looked up and saw his little sisters with a grin on her face looking out of the window. Oh, she had seen the whole thing. They went in for lunch. His sister said nothing. After lunch, grandmother said, "Sally, let's clear the table and wash the dishes." Sally said, "Oh, grandmother, Johnny wanted to help you in the kitchen today, didn't you, Johnny?" Then she whispered to him, "Remember the duck." So Johnny did the dishes. Later in the day, grandfather called the children to go fishing. But grandmother said, "I'm sorry, but Sally has to stay to help me clean the house and get dinner ready." Sally smiled and said, "That's all been taken care of. Johnny said he wanted to help today, didn't you, Johnny?" And then she whispered, "Remember the duck." And this went on for several days. Johnny did all the chores, both his and those assigned to his sister Sally as well. Finally, he could stand it no longer. So he went to his grandmother and he confessed everything. His grandmother took him in her arms and said, "I know, Johnny. I was standing at the kitchen window and saw the whole thing. And because I love you, I forgave you. And knowing that I loved you, I would always forgive you. I wondered just how long you would let Sally make a slave of you." Think about it. Guilt makes slaves of us all, doesn't it? When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they tried to hide from God. That was the first reaction. We must hide. Guilt makes us want to hide from God, His holy presence. It also alienates us from others. We don't want others to find out who we are, what kind of a person we are, lest they also reject us. Or the information they may know about us, they hold us hostage just like Sally was doing to her brother. But because all have sinned, we also need this blessing of God's forgiveness. Our text comes from the book of Romans chapter 4, verse number 7. We'll read 7 and 8. It says, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." You may notice that in this passage, every word, at least in my Bible, is capitalized. Do you know why it's capitalized? It's capitalized because it's a reference to another quote. It's a reference from Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2. But both of these passages in Psalm and in Romans use the term of accounting to impute or to credit, meaning to enter something into your ledger, into your account book. And David was the first to write this in Psalm 32 because he was really hit with this gracious reality of God and how that he can forgive sins. Because if you recall David, he had sinned greatly and it hurt him so badly, and he was confronted with his own sin and he lived with the guilt of it until he found God's forgiveness. So David understood. To some people in our world, the idea of God forgiving sinners grates on them. It irritates them. We by nature want to see good people forgiven. We want to see good people go to heaven. We want to see them go to heaven because of their goodness. But we don't want to see terrible sinners get off. We want to see terrible sinners pay the price for their sin. They shouldn't get off without anything, without any punishment. This is our human understanding, human nature. But if that were the case, and if that were the truth, first of all, it would give us, as what we would consider the good people, it would give us something to brag about, and it wouldn't be a gift of God. It wouldn't be about His graciousness. It would be about us. But second, there would be no hope for sinners everywhere. No hope. And if we look through the eyes of God, we see ourselves from His perspective. We understand that we are all sinners and we all need God's forgiveness. There are some really, really bad sinners, and there are some pretty good sinners. I don't know which one you fall into. Many of you are probably here today because you're the good sinners, right? But the truth is, and by the way, I'm just kidding about that. But the truth is, we're all sinners in need of God's saving grace. We are all sinners in need of His grace. The supreme blessing of God's gracious forgiveness comes through faith, apart from any works on our part. And that irritates some people. That grates on some people. But we have to remember, you remember the parable that Jesus told in Matthew 20? I'll just give you the brief rundown. There was a landowner, and he went out early in the morning to hire some workers for his vineyard. And he went out very early, and he hired a few to come and work, and he promised to pay them a certain wage for working in his vineyard that day. And so he hired some. Later in the day, he went out and found some others. Come and help, and I'll pay you this much money. And then towards the end of the day, he still went out and hired some others and brought them in and said he would pay them the same wage. Well, others found out what had happened, and some thought this just isn't fair. And so they went to the landowner and said, listen, we've been working since early in the morning, and you're paying us the same amount that you're paying these who just came late in the day. And if you recall the story, the landowner said, I gave you what we agreed upon. So take what is yours and go. But am I not free to be generous to these last men with what it is that I own? This is what he was saying. And so as we think of God and His forgiveness and His generous outpouring of His grace to sinners, you may think that you are one of the good sinners. There may be others who you would classify as a really bad sinner, and God's grace extends to all. And it is His grace to give. And He offers it to all who would receive Him, all who would come to Him. Number one, write this down on your notes if you would. The greatest blessing of all is to have God forgive your sins. This is it. The greatest blessing of all is to have God forgive your sins. To appreciate God's forgiveness, first of all, we must feel the burden of our guilt. Feel the burden of your guilt. Have you felt the burden of your guilt before a holy and righteous God? Guilt today is often seen as very bad and negative, and people shouldn't live with guilt. And I saw this cartoon that had a guy on a couch in a psychologist's office, and the psychologist looks at him and he says, "Mr. Jones, I think I can explain the reason for your guilt. You're guilty." That's it. You feel guilty because you are guilty. You've done some bad things. Guilt itself is not a bad thing. Ever since the fall, sinners have responded by blaming others. They've responded to their own sin by blaming others. Adam, who did he blame? The woman. And who did the woman blame? The serpent. And I'm sure the serpent might have tried to blame somebody else too. But that's our response, to blame. And it is true, if one keeps this up, if one keeps on passing blame, denying his own guilt and blaming others, he may eventually stop feeling guilty. And the Bible calls this a seared conscience. And that's not a good thing. We need to own up to our guilt and accept our guilt for what it is, because we are guilty before a holy and righteous God. I read that even that dictator, that Cambodian dictator, Pol Pot, who had killed so many of his own countrymen, and he was so guilty as they come. But I had read that he felt not even a little bit of guilt over murdering those millions of people. He didn't feel guilt about it. You can sear that conscience. So a guilty conscience is a good thing. A guilty conscience can be a useful thing. A guilty conscience is like the pain receptors in your body. And when you feel the pain, you know there's a problem. And you know you have to deal with a problem. If you feel pain, if you feel the pain of sickness, for example, you know there's a problem in your body, and what do? You need to do something about it. You go perhaps to someone who's going to be able to help you. And so guilt is that pain receptor in our body. Guilt is that pain that we feel that tells us there's a problem, and you need to go to someone who can do something for you. Someone who can heal you, the only one who can heal you, the great physician himself. You need to go to him and let him help you. Let him cure you. But we have to feel sick before we see a need to go and get help for it. You have to accept and own your guilt. We must feel the burden of our guilt. The preacher, the English preacher, C.H. Spurgeon, he put it this way. He says, "Too many people think lightly of sin and therefore think lightly of the Savior." Did you get that? Too many people think lightly of their sin, therefore they think lightly of their Savior. As Jesus says, he who's been forgiven much loves much. If you understand the guilt of your sin and how much God has forgiven you, greater is your love for him for forgiving you so much. He goes on, though, he says, "He who has stood before his God, convicted and condemned, with the rope about his neck, is the man to weep for joy when he is pardoned, to hate the evil which has been forgiven him, and to live to the honor of the Redeemer by whose blood he has been cleansed." Amazing words by this preacher that understood what it was to feel the burden of his guilt. Not only that, but the joy of being released and forgiven of his guilt. That's what we need. Forgiveness is the greatest of all blessings. Many people think that those who are rich in this world's goods, those are the ones who are blessed. Oh, he's driving a new car. Oh, what a blessing. Oh, look at that huge house. What a blessing. Oh, he got a promotion. What a blessing. Do you understand how that these things are the things that the world looks at and says, that is a truly blessed man? Oh, the one in a small house driving an old car, and oh, he must not be very blessed. This is how we think. But those things that people look at and call blessings, they can be taken away. And at the very best, you hang on to all of them until you die, but you have to leave them behind. You have to leave them behind. You cannot take them with you. It's been said by somebody else that you never see someone being taken to the grave in a hearse with a moving trailer behind the hearse, because they can't take anything with them. They go to the grave alone. But what a great feeling to know the burden of guilt is gone forever. Have you experienced this greatest of blessings? Have you experienced this greatest of blessings of having your guilt taken away from you? Are you sure that the Lord, that God Himself, will not take your sins into account when you stand before Him? In this text that we read in Romans 4, Paul is talking about a particular doctrine here. It is a blessing, but he's talking about a doctrine, an important doctrine, and that is the doctrine of justification. Justification. How does this doctrine fit in with this idea of forgiveness, the blessing of being forgiven? Write down number 2. Justification means God credits Christ's righteousness. He credits His righteousness into your account. He places it into your account. Justification means God credits Christ's righteousness to the guilty sinner. In Romans 4:3, look up a couple of verses before. In Romans 4:3, again, citing an Old Testament passage in Genesis 15, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was, what's the word? We don't have it up there. Charlie, do we have it? Thank you. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That is, God credited Abraham's account of sin. He had a debit. He had a debit of sin, and God credited him righteousness. He gave righteousness to Abraham. So to justify is not to magically make someone else perfect and without sin, but it is an act of God, a judicial act of God, based on the satisfaction of God's righteous penalty for that sin by the blood of Christ. Christ, by His action, by His own sacrifice, He paid for your sin. And so God, in His righteousness, in His decision as the great judge, He says, that is acceptable, and I credit His sacrifice to your account. That's what He does for the sinner. That's what He does for you. Justification means God forgives all the guilty sinner's sins. God does not only credit the sinner's... justification is this. God does not only not hold the guilty sinner's sins against him, but God does credit the very righteousness of Jesus Christ to them. So He doesn't hold your sins against you any longer. Not only that, but He credits the righteousness of His Son Jesus into your account. This is justification. And God says, this is good. This is acceptable. I will do this. Paul used... In this text in Romans 4, he used 3 kind of synonymous phrases to describe what God has done. Let's look at those synonymous. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. That's the first one. They're forgiven, and this Greek word here, forgiven, means to send away. So God saw your unrighteousness, and He has sent it away. The Bible says that He takes our sins and He removes them from us. As far as the east from the west, He buries them into the deepest sea to remember them no more. And they will never be brought up again. They will never be brought up and held against you again. He's forgiven your sins. He has sent them away. We also see in the second part whose sins are covered. Again, another, you can call them synonymous. That means they're the same. But they're still descriptive. He covers your sins. And it recalls the Old Testament when the priest would make a sacrifice for the sins of the people and go into the holy place, the most holy place, and he would sprinkle the blood of that sacrifice on something. What was that something, Bible scholars? What was it called? The mercy seat. That was actually the lid part of the Ark of the Covenant, called the mercy seat. It was that part where it had the two cherubim angels with the wings covering over the lid. And he would sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice for the sins of the people, indicating that this blood had covered their sins. And that's what Jesus Christ has done for you. He's removed them from you. He's covered them. And to make it even more emphatic, it says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." The Lord shall not, he wipes your slate clean. It's an accounting picture, if you would, and you owe a lot of money, more than you could possibly pay. But God comes along and says, "I'm wiping it clean. I'm wiping it clean. Your debt is cleared. There is no more owing." And if you understand your guilt, what joy comes when you realize it's been forgiven, removed, covered, wiped clean. Justification means God's righteousness. He credits it to the guilty sinner and forgives all his sins. But here's the important part: apart from any good works. Did you hear that? Your good works do not come into play when it comes to God's justification of you. If your good works begin to come into play and you think, "Well, I got to do my part after all. I got to try my best or else God won't give me his best." Then there is no gospel. Then there is no justification, for you are relying and leaning on yourself, and God cannot have that. God will not have his gracious act of redemption and justification tainted in that way. So it's totally apart from works. Look at verse 6. Not only it described Abraham, but then he talks about David, whom they all knew. He says, "Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness," and the next three words, "apart from works." Do we not have that verse up there, Charlie? Apart from works. If apart from works, then, how is this done? How do you receive this credit of righteousness? Look at verse 5. "But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." So put your works aside. And this must be clear. We must be clear here that it does not mean that God views our faith in itself as a work meriting his righteousness. Our faith in itself is not that. We cannot trust our faith. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. Our faith is not in our faith, but our faith is in Jesus Christ completely. God justifies as a gift, not a reward. But faith itself is that hand that receives that free gift that God is offering. And by faith, we put our hand out and receive it. Finally, number three here, to receive this blessing, we must cease from our works and believe in God's provision for us. own that guilt, that guilt that comes from seeing our sin and feeling the burden of that sin. And we hear what God has done and what He offers to us. And we must cease from our works or attempt to work. And we believe and receive God's provision. We saw in verse 6 that we are blessed and forgiven apart from works. And if you are trusting in any sense, your good works, you exclude yourself from God crediting Christ's righteousness to you. While we must repent of our sins, that's a part of this process. We must repent of our sins, but if you are trusting in your own repentance, your own sincerity, if you are trusting in your repentance, you exclude yourself. We must believe in Jesus Christ, but if you are trusting in your own faith, somehow you're excluding yourself. Your faith must be in Christ alone. My faith is in Him alone. I trust in Him. And yes, because of that trust, I repent of my sins. I turn my back on my sin and I look to Him as my Lord and Savior. Because of that faith in Christ alone, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in His Word and what He has said. And I look to Him alone. And He takes away that guilt. Blessed is that man. No more having the voice whispering in your ear, remember the duck. Remember the duck. You can say, God has wiped that away. God has cleansed me from my sin. He's removed that guilt. I read this story in our Daily Bread, told about a 6-year-old boy who went missing. And one night, his parents couldn't find him, and they called for some help. And throughout the night, about 80 people were searching in the woods nearby his home, looking for this little 6-year-old boy. And by morning, there were about 300 people looking, more than 300 people. And of course, you can imagine the fear in a mom, the fear in a dad at this time. But about 10:30 in the morning, this little boy quietly comes, slipping out of his bedroom. Yes, there's a relief there. There's a frustration there. There's a exasperation, whatever you can imagine. What happened? What was going on? Well, he had been hiding underneath his bed, afraid. The evening before, a policeman had come knocking on the door, and he asked if he knew anything about a broken window across the street. And he lied to the policeman, says he didn't. And he was responsible for that. And in his imagination ran wild with the guilt that was playing in his head. And he just knew that the police were going to take him and throw him into prison somewhere. And he just lived with this fear. And so he stayed hidden under his bed all through the night. His fear, his guilt drove him into hiding. But as I mentioned earlier, guilt can be a good thing. It tells us there's a problem. It tells us you need to find some help to this problem. But I urge you, though, let it be a warning, that guilt, let it be a warning that something is wrong to drive you to Jesus Christ for the help that you need. Let it be that warning that tells you only Jesus, the great physician, can heal you from this. You must come to Him. Put aside your attempts, put aside your efforts, put aside your works, and come to Him in faith. And in faith, receive that free gift of forgiveness. There is no greater blessing. In this Chinese New Year, as we look at the character of Fool, as we look at this character, we're reminded that blessing is what is to be a person in a garden like God had intended at the very beginning, in fellowship with God Himself. Guilt drives us to fear and drives us into hiding and retreating. But Jesus Christ removes that guilt from us to once again have a relationship and a fellowship with Him. Do you have that? Are you blessed? Are you blessed this year? I pray so. But I also pray that if any here has a wrong understanding of what it means to be blessed, and maybe you have a world's understanding, blessed is things, I urge you to come to the cross, come to Jesus Christ. Repent, yes, but put your faith and your trust in Him. Receive His blessed forgiveness. Can you stand with me, please? With every head bowed and eye closed, I know many of you in here, I know, have done that. You have come to the cross. You've come to Jesus. And thank the Lord for that. And this morning, as we have reviewed what it means to be truly blessed, looking in the book of Romans, blessed is the one that the Lord does not impute sins to. Your sins have been forgiven. They've been cast away. They've been covered. And He doesn't credit it to your account. He's credited righteousness to your account. And so as we review this today, take time to worship the Lord in your heart. And from your heart say, thank You, my Lord. Thank You for this blessing that You've given to me. This blessing of forgiveness. There is no greater blessing. There is no more blessed person than the one who has been forgiven all of their deeds. If you are in Christ now, I don't care how many things you have or how much money you have or how many possessions you own or how big your house is. None of that means anything next to the eternal forgiveness that only God can give us. It means nothing. But there may be some in here who can honestly say, I've never been blessed in this way. I've sought after the world's kinds of blessings, and they just seem to move and get farther and farther away. I try to grasp them, but they're gone. I need this blessing. Is that you? Are you in need of this blessing of God's forgiveness today? Do you need to come to Him and put aside your effort and your works and with the hand of faith receive that free gift that is His forgiveness? Is that you? Is there any in this place this morning that with no one looking would say, Pastor Ken, that's me. I need that blessing. I need God's forgiveness. I want that in my life. Would you pray for me, Pastor Ken? That is something that I must have, this blessing. Raise your hand where you are. I don't want to do anything to embarrass you. But would you raise your hand and say, Pastor Ken, I need that. Amen. Anyone else? Pastor Ken, just pray for me. I need that forgiveness. That's what I need in my life. I must have. We're having an invitation time now, and I'm going to pray. And believers, brothers, sisters, you pray too. Would you pray with me? Pray in your heart. Pray for those who may need the Lord. They may need His forgiveness. Pray for those that have never been blessed in this way by Him. And if you know that you need Christ today, you need this kind of blessing today, I'm inviting you now to come forward, to move forward, come to the front of this place, this auditorium. And just take me by the hand, and we'll have someone show you how you can receive this blessing
today. Father, may your work be done in this place. May your Spirit, Lord, be effective and working here right now, I pray in Jesus' name. Every head remain bowed. Would you come? Are there others who would like to come at this time? Would you come? If you need this blessing in your life, this blessing of God's forgiveness, I urge you, come, receive it in faith. Receive it by faith. Put aside your pride. Put aside your efforts, your own works. These have no place in it. We just come and we humbly say, thank you, God. Thank you for what Jesus has done for me. Thank you for the forgiveness that he brings, that he offers. Thank you for wiping away my sin, covering it, taking it off of my ledger, and remembering it no more. Anyone, would you come? We just have a couple of more moments. Don't pass this up. Don't pass up this opportunity. Would you come? Lord, I thank you for this blessing that we have seen today, the blessing that is Christ and what he has offered to us, what he gives to us. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling in their heart right now, unsure or knowing that they have never received this kind of blessing. I thank you for working in them. I thank you, Lord, for your convicting power. But I pray that you would continue to work and draw them. And may they come and speak to myself or one of the other pastors or leaders in this place. And that they would come to Jesus before they leave. That they would bow their knee before him in humble prayer before they leave this place this morning. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take a seat. Start getting ready. So you close your
eyes. Thank you, Pastor Ken, for the message this morning. And thanks to each of you for coming out and being a part of the worship service. Thank you especially to the Chinese choir. And the beautiful music, the wonderful singing, praising the Lord this morning. In our announcements, if you have your bulletin, just look on the inside page. There's a few things that we would like to mention that's coming up. Tonight we have the Overcomers Support Group. That's going to be at 5 o'clock. It's from 5 o'clock until 7 o'clock. And the portion that we're on tonight is, God will always forgive my sins, always. Which goes right along with the message tonight. So if you would like to invite someone along to this support group, perhaps it's someone who is struggling with forgiveness or struggling with their past, this would be an excellent night to bring them along to the Overcomers Support Group. Also, we have a Life Group Leaders meeting. That's next Sunday, the 21st of February. It's going to be at 10 o'clock during the Sunday school hour. So Life Groups or Life Group Leaders, if you are part of the Life Group leading it or an apprentice, each of you, the leader and your wife as well, come along to the meeting next week. We have a new members class. This is a class that is offered for those who have been attending the International Baptist Church and have been interested in joining the church. That will start next week also, the 21st of February at 10 o'clock. And that's going to take a five weeks worth of sessions for the new members class. Thursday Ladies Bible Study, that will be starting up on the 25th of February. That's in 1 week from this coming Thursday. So see Gina if you are interested in that, ladies. Also, the prayer journals that was ordered a few weeks ago, those are here now. So if you ordered one of the prayer journals or you'd like to have a prayer journal, see Pastor Ken's wife, Jennifer, and she'll make sure that you have that. Also, we have the 111 ministry team that was here yesterday for the ladies' evening tea. And some of the ladies that had came out to that, They are also going to be here again Friday night for the teen group and the young adults. So if you didn't see it on yesterday, or you didn't hear the testimony and see the dance, the ballet dance, and you'd like to see that again or bring someone, that's going to be Friday night here at 7 o'clock. So young adults and teens, you're all invited, and you're also encouraged and invited to bring friends out to that. Well, I believe that's all of the announcements that we need to share with you right now. Other than our missionaries, continue to pray for our missionaries. The letters that we post are on the back just inside the kitchen doors, so please take time to read them and pray for each of the missionaries as often as the Lord will bring them upon your heart. Before we're dismissed, though, let's just take a moment and recognize if anyone's having a birthday or an anniversary. Birthdays or anniversaries. Anyone celebrating a birthday today, Sunday through Saturday, or even last week if you weren't here last week? Anyone celebrating a birthday? Here comes Robert. Come on up here, Robert. Anyone else celebrating? Joel. Anyone else celebrating a birthday? Anyone else with a birthday? How about wedding anniversaries? Anyone celebrating a wedding anniversary? Any wedding anniversaries? No wedding anniversaries? Were you born on Valentine's Day, Joel? No. What day is your birthday this week? Saturday. Coming up on Saturday. And Robert, were you a Valentine's? Monday coming up. Gretchen, she's not here. We know Gretchen's is on Valentine's. She'll be here, I guess, in the second service. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Birthday, and then we'll be dismissed in a time of prayer. Let's sing Happy Birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you, Joel. Happy birthday to you, Robert. God bless you. Perfect.
I forgot something. Okay, before we leave,